Time in history. Easter morning, we welcome you. If you're a visitor, what a wonderful day to come and be a part of this Easter celebration. I want to begin, though, before we have our worship service, to ask if there are any announcements. And I know Mr. John Hall is ready to give us a very big announcement.
First of all, I'd like to thank Larry Dealey again for furnishing over 100 pike, 106 to be exact. So, and... And then I would like to thank all the people in the church for filling the pie crust and baking them and bringing them back. This is a rich thing for people up there to get homemade pies, from the top of the people in there to the people that walk in the door. Everybody enjoys homemade pies. So this morning we're going to leave about 10 o'clock and head up there to serve at the mission. So thank you very much again, everybody.
Let's raise a cheer again. Wonderful. Wonderful way to celebrate the risen Christ, bringing the ministry of the risen Christ to those who are on the streets, to those who are hungry, to those who are many homeless. They're going to have a great meal today. Any other sharings? Yes, sir, Brad.
Just thought I'd give everybody an update on the heating and air conditioning. We did take out a $20,000 loan, and it is down to under $4,000.
So, wow, yeah.
So we're getting real close on that, and we got some other stuff we're going to work on too. So, but on the maintenance fund, we're going to be doing some work on the outside of the parsonage this summer, so if anybody wants to volunteer, I know the youth group is going to help as well. So
Excellent, Brad. Wonderful news. Yes, sir. Cheer. Indeed. Wonderful news. And I have Taylor here.
Next Sunday is our youth group dinner theater. There's two plays. One is Jesus Was, Jesus Is, and the other is CSI Jerusalem. It starts at 6:30. The dinner is garlic chicken, cheesy potatoes, dessert, green beans or corn, and a drink. It's a fun time, a lot of fellowship, and it'll just be a nice evening.
Taylor, that's just, yes, indeed, that is wonderful. The second annual dinner theater. And I know, boy, Jeannie and the youth have really worked getting ready for this. This is really going to be super special. Yes, Cindy.
In the social room, there is some leftover cinnamon roll, plates of casserole, or whatever for anybody who wants.
I better hold off. I got my buddy Don Johnson, Don and Nancy back. And Don, you probably noticed that I've grown. It's just great to have Don and Nancy back. I saw Bob and Phyllis back. We got some others. If you shout them out, if you caught them out, I didn't. I don't want to miss them. We got some others. Help me out, buddy. And Janet Keever's back. Shiv. Any others? Well, just wonderful to have so many of our family back, and have our families here today. If there are no other announcements or any more, practice Thursday night 6:30. And yes, Tawna. Oh yeah, my goodness, yes, yeah. And also you have that take us home with you as an insert. And that will be, is it Thursday, Tawna?
Yes.
Right, here it is. So the Bob Evans Community Fundraiser for Convoy Preschool, thank you very much, Thursday, April 4th, 2013. 6 a.m., is it? 6 a.m., so it's the whole day. Wow. 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., so there are a lot of opportunities there. And, of course, they'll donate 15% of sales when we present the flyer that's in the bulletin. So do hang on to that. Please don't lose your flyer. Hang on to that. So there's a great opportunity right there to support our preschool. Any other sharings this morning? Yes, indeedy. Here you go, Lynn.
A reminder that this Wednesday, it's in the bulletin, but just a reminder, this Wednesday is our United Methodist Women's meeting. We invite all the ladies of the church to attend that. I also want to remind you of the spring meeting that's April 13th. If you're interested in going, several of us are going. It is in Findlay this year, so it's a little closer for us to drive since our district is so large now. So if you're interested in going the 13th, you can let us know at Wednesday's meeting. And then we really do need you here on Wednesday to help Vicki finish out the Ladies Night Out. So I will let her speak to that.
Yes, April 12th. That's a Friday night, ladies. You get off work and you want to go have a little fun. Come on out to the park. Four to eight. We're going to have all kinds of entrepreneurs, local entrepreneurs that have their own crafts or their own gifts that they're going to share with us. We're going to have good food. There's going to be a light supper provided. We'll have hors d'oeuvres. There is a $5 cost to get in because it is a fundraiser for the United Methodist Women. So plan to come out, bring a friend, bring your family, and check us out on Facebook.
Wonderful, Vicki. That just, well, how about those opportunities right there? Aren't those great? Any other sharings, parish notices to come before us? Then let us prepare our hearts for this, the day of days, for blessed Easter.
Jesus.
of mystery and might, your wondrous love always seems to catch us off guard. We come to the tomb looking for death, but find life instead. As we behold the glory of our salvation, take us back to that moment of discovery when grief and loss gave way to a glimmer of hope. Before we shout our hallelujahs, remind us of that moment when despair was transported into glimpses of new possibilities. And the holy awe of Easter morning, as Jesus calls each of us by name, we join those who shout from the mountaintops, Christ is risen, hallelujah, Christ is risen indeed. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. Let all the people proclaim, God's steadfast love endures forever.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is my strength, my song, and my salvation. Shouts of joy resound in the tents of the righteous.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. We enter the gates of the Lord and give thanks, for this is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Lift up your voices in celebration this morning. 302, Christ the Lord is risen today. Thank you. take this opportunity to welcome one another through the passing of the peace. You know, folks, before the children come forward, listen, I am remiss. I'm getting old and forgetful, and to have forgotten this morning, shame on me, because we gotta raise a cheer for the youth, the service this morning, and the wonderful table fellowship, the meal. Can we raise a praise of thanksgiving? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thanks to all those who serve. And now at this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments on this Easter morning. Well, good morning, children. What morning is this? Easter. You know what we're going to do? I kind of figured you all were ready for this one. How about on the count of three, see all those people back there? Let's let them hear. On the count of three, I'll count one, two, three, and you shout out what day this is. One, two, three.
Easter!
Hey, there you go. How about that? Boy, I'll tell you, hey, you know what, Keith? That sounded kind of like a chorus to me, I'm going to tell you. Let's do it one more time. One, two, three.
Easter!
Oh, this is the morning of mornings. This is why we're here. This is why we're here. And what does Easter mean? Now, would someone be brave enough? You want to share what Easter means? What happened on Easter?
God rose from the dead.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, they got it. How about it? How about it, moms and dads and grandparents? They got it. They've got it already. That's what this is all about. And this is a time of celebration. Now, on that first Easter morning, there were a lot of heavy hearts, weren't there? Mary Magdalene, she was among the first to go to the tomb, and they found that the stone had been rolled away, you know, and we heard that this morning from the youth service, and we're going to hear that very message lifted up here in just a few moments from the scripture. But how sad they must have been, and they thought it was all over. They thought that Jesus had been crucified and that he was destroyed. But then, yes indeed, son, God raised Jesus from the dead, and Christ says not just he is alive, but here's the good news for us, that even as he has conquered death, even as he lives, he is going to give to you and to me the victory. You know what that means? That means we got nothing to be afraid of ever again. And I know we get frightened. I know. But the good news is we don't have to be afraid again. Jesus loves us. God loves us. And his love is never going to leave us. And he's going to give us help throughout this journey. And when we come to the end of this journey and we die, we're not destroyed. Not even then, we go on to live with Jesus as he lives, as he lives, as he has risen, and as he lives, we will live always. Now, we got you something this morning. I'm going to have my helper here, my very capable helper. Looks very much like my wife, but well, he is my wife. You know I'm always clowning. But we've got something to remind you that he lives. In fact, you know what I'm going to give you? because you were so good about sharing with us. Look here. How about that? You see what that is? We got you a teddy bear who has the cross and the message right beside the cross. See the cross today? Do you remember, children, that was draped in purple? Linda Holden and Laura and I and the worshipers on Friday came in and we stripped all the purple from the cross, and it was just a bare old rugged cross. But today we have the white representing the risen Lord. And so that's what you have, the little teddy bears. You take those home as a reminder that he lives. You know, when I gave him that one, if you want another color, did you get your... Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sorry, son. You should have been able to pick out your color. There's a bunch of different colors in there. Do you like that? Do you like that, honey? Yeah. We want to make sure that every child gets one of these. We don't want to overlook anybody. We don't want to miss anybody. Be sure to get your teddy bear. And there's a few more, okay? So if you were a little timid about coming down here, there are more. So we want to make sure that you get your teddy bear with the cross and that wonderful message, he lives. Let's go to the Lord and let's give him thanks for this wonderful news, this wonderful day. Allison, I'm going to take your hand and we'll make a big circle. Here we go. Let's return our thanks to the Lord. Heavenly Father, what a day this is. This is the day of history. This is the most wonderful news that we have ever received on earth. You come to us to save us. You gave your life. You paid the price at that old rugged cross. But God has raised you from the dead, Jesus, and you are the Savior who lives and lives in us, O Lord. So continue to lead, guide, and direct us that we share with other boys and girls the good news that Jesus lives and he loves us and his love is forever. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. God bless you, children. And I know we got a lot of folks here today, so I ask, where's Derek? There he is. There you go, buddy. I've got Derek. The rest of you can go ahead and return to your pews. It is so wonderful to have you here on this blessed Easter morning. Derek is this fine young man is going to help me. Because I told Derek, I said, we're going to have a lot of people today. And I want to, it can be a little intimidating. Can you see me sweating, Derek? See Greg sweating? It can be a little intimidating. But it's wonderful. It's exciting. So we welcome our visitors. And if you wish, there's a visitor's card there stuffed in the pews. If you wish, take a moment, fill that out, put your telephone number on there. And in a little bit, we will serve the risen Christ with the morning offering. Drop that visitor's card in that offering plate, and I got the best ushers of any church. I'm going to just say it. You can argue with me, and I'll accept your argument, but I think I got the best. They get those cards to me, and I will get a call back to you to get you better acquainted. Now, Derek's standing here with me for a reason. This is called the Joys and Concerns. If you have a joy, for instance, it could be a birthday announcement, it could be a wedding anniversary announcement, it could be a testimony of how the risen Christ is alive in your heart, giving you strength. You want to lift up that testimony. You raise your hand for this joy. It could be a concern. Maybe someone that you love is sick. You want to lift them up in prayer. Raise your hand for that as well. So joys or concerns, raise your hand, but keep them up so that Derek can see your hand, and I'll take care of the balcony here. Yes, sir, Brad.
Hey, Greg, I forgot to mention during announcements, I see there's a bunch of different faces here. Softball season. If you want to play, see me or Steve or part-timer over there, Brett, this year. So he gave me the reins. I ain't figured out how that worked yet. But anyway.
We got the coaches in this place, don't we? Brad, thank you.
Yeah, just see us. We play in Monday nights out at Smiley Park. We start in May.
You heard the birds singing this morning? Did you hear the birds, the heralds of spring? How about that announcement for Brad? Give a cheer for that. Great opportunity. Spring has come. Yes, indeedy.
I just want to say thank you to the church and all the kids from here that do the care packages for the students for college. It's just nice to get cards in the mail and for Valentine's Day and Easter. Really appreciate it.
Did you hear that, care package preparers? I can't get it out, Shelly. Did you hear that? That thanks there? How about that? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, thanks to you who worked so hard getting those out. Thank you, Lene. Thank you. Yes, Taylor?
Jordan's birthday was on Thursday. Right? Thursday.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Wonderful. I got to sing. I got to sit and worship with the Millers this morning. I had fun. It's good, Taylor. Yes, Jacob?
My sister Kay had her birthday last week.
Oh, wonderful, Jacob. Wonderful. Wonderful. And that, by the way, is another fine microphone carrier right there, the little Jacob right here. Good man. Good biblical name. Yes, Karen?
We're glad to have April home with us for the weekend. And also part-timer Judy Parrott.
Oh, yeah, indeed.
Judy's mom is in the hospital with pneumonia, so keep her in your prayers. And my dad fell this week and not doing so good, so I also ask for prayers for him.
Indeed. Karen, thank you. Thank you for the joys and the concerns, though. We want to be alerted to those. Thank you, Karen.
I just want to thank everybody for their prayers and cards and visits while I've had my surgery and recuperating.
And Gloria is back. Raise the cheer. Raise the cheer. Gloria is back.
I just got a joy. It was a pleasure how the Lord's working. Glenn was at Sunrise Service this morning, and I thought it was just wonderful to have him. He told us when we was calling on him, he says, my goal is to make it to church on Easter Sunday, and I was so glad the Lord worked with him, and he was here.
Amen, Brother Dave.
And it's just been a blessing the way
Amen.
The Lord's been working with us.
This was such a rich morning, Shiv, to have Glenn here. Wow, what an Easter celebration, Brother Dave. Thank you. Yes, I hear some cheers for that. Come on. Rattle the rafters for that.
My mom's birthday's coming up next Monday.
Birthday's coming up next Monday, and I couldn't. I'm not only getting forgetful, but I'm losing my sight. Whose birthday was? I couldn't see back there. Whose birthday, kids?
Brooks.
Oh, Brooks! Brooks' birthday. Brooks' birthday. Praise the cheer. Nothing wrong with the announcement, by the way. I heard that spot on. I just couldn't see Brooke. Any other sharings this morning? It is wonderful to have so many here. And by the way, I want to make a point here that Judy happens to be the mother of my favorite daughter-in-law. You tell her I said that, Judy.
John Hulse thanked everybody for the pie crust and also the baking of the pies. But we need to apologize and have some other sort of a way to distribute, because I had a couple of people call and want to know where their pie crusts were and where their filling was. So thank you to all who took that didn't sign up, or those that signed up and didn't get to bake. We'll get you next year.
And that's I like that perspective, right? Thank you, Linda. Yes, indeed. Right, Linda. Right, where there's a will and a way. And of course, we're always on a learning curve. I told Tyson this morning. Tyson came to me for the prayer he did. He says, now, Greg, do I do the prayer alone or is it congregational? I said, it's not in bold print, so it's just you yourself. Next year, I'm going to put it in bold print. But listen, I was the guy that told him. And he did a beautiful job, Mother. He did a wonderful job. I'm proud of him. Any other sharings this morning? Well, can we show an appreciation for this fine young man, Derek? Thank you, son. Thank you, son. Let us turn to the Lord in silent prayer. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, for this is the day that Christ rose from the dead, bringing life in His name. In Christ, God has opened the gates of righteousness that those who seek fullness of life may enter through it. Increase our faith, O Lord, as we lift up the prayer that the risen Christ invites us to share with Him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to have a stand. This is one of the most beloved Easter hymns. 314 in the garden. Be seated. Well, I've been enjoying the choir already. I'm telling you, Keith, it is a blessing to be able to stand right here where I am, get to hear these beautiful choral voices on this blessed Easter morning. This is the blessed morning of Easter. Let us now go back and hear again the proclamation of the gospel writer John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled from the tomb. And so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." And then Peter and the other disciple set out, and they went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head, one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means "my teacher." And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go rather to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. May God add the blessing of his Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word.
Thank you. seemed to be. I saw the Holy City beside the timeless sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates were open wide,
and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was a new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna in the highest.
You don't know how much it. Keith, thank you. Thank you. Linda, thank you. Thank you, choir, on this holiest of all days in Christendom for all the world. What a privilege it is to gather here. Well, how exciting this was. Did you enjoy the children sharing with you? Let me tell you something. You know, they are sharper than we dare imagine. Fresh from the forming hands of the Creator God. You know, so much we learn from them. There was a little 2-year-old girl. She couldn't wait for Easter. She had a new dress to wear and a new pair of shoes to go with it. But as she's getting ready excitedly, Tony, for the worship service, I know you got the little ones here, that she's getting all set, and her father was concerned, just as we were asking the children, you know, the meaning of Easter. He says, "Sweetheart, now, Kara, do you know what Easter means?" She looked up. She says, "Yes, I do." Had a big smile on her face. "All right, then, what does it mean, honey?" And she smiled, and she raised her hands toward heaven, and she shouted, "Surprise!" You know, I can't think of a better word to sum up or to distill the joy of the good news of Easter than surprise, other than perhaps the word life. When the early disciples went to that tomb, they were surprised. They thought that they would be in a place of death and foreboding, a place of darkness. And they were surprised. They were surprised by life. Easter, surprise. Life. We need these good surprises because, children, do we not journey this earth and find many surprises that are not so joyous? Amen. We've been there, haven't we? How many of you have sons and daughters who have been in the armed forces? Just raise your hands, moms and dads, grandparents as well. Raise your hands of all who have had sons and daughters who have served in the military. Just take a moment. Take a look so we can see. We keep them up. All right, good, good. Now, I want us all to take this to heart. February 27th, 1991, at the height of Desert Storm, Ruth Dillow received a call from the Pentagon. She received a message from the Pentagon that parents, no parent, should ever hear. She was informed, sadly, that her son, Clayton Carpenter, private first class, had stepped on a mine in Kuwait and was killed. Now, Ruth Dillow has written a biography and a diary, a message, a testimony of what it was like to deal with that phone call. She says, I must tell you that I can't even begin to describe my grief and my shock. And she said, when I received that news, and parents here, listen to this, because I know you hear this in your hearts. She said, when I got that message from the Pentagon, I'm telling you, it was almost more than my beating heart could stand. She said, I, for 3 weeks, wept. For 3 weeks, I vented my anger and my loss. And for 3 weeks, people tried to comfort me, but to no avail, because the loss was too great. Parents here today can surely sigh and amen to that witness. And I know some of our beloved parents here have known that pain. For 3 weeks she wept. For 3 weeks she displayed anger and loss. For 3 weeks friends tried to comfort her, but to no avail because the loss was too great. And then 3 weeks after that tragic message, the telephone rang. And on the other end of the line, a voice spoke, "Mother, it's me. I'm alive." Now, Ruth Dillow says at first, she couldn't believe it. I mean, she says, don't be mistaken. I know my son's voice. And yes, it was his voice. But she says, the thing is, you've got to appreciate, for me, in that context, it was news that was too good to be true. But it was true. He was alive. Clayton Carpenter was alive. The message 3 weeks later from the Pentagon was a mistake. She said, I laughed, I cried, I felt like turning cartwheels, for this, my son, whom I thought was dead, was alive again. What joyous, joyous, joyous surprise, 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 life. Early on that first morning of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and discovered that the stone had been removed from the tomb. Now, my brother was an intertestamental scholar. I've lifted up Jackie before. Tana, I can't help but brag about Jackie. I can't help but brag about my brother. He was the true scholar in the family. He was the intertestamental scholar. He was, Bob Ortenberger, here's a great historian. Bob, you and Jackie would have loved to have sat at the table to talk. Jackie was a Roman historian. In fact, Don's going to appreciate this. Don's a colleague of mine from Bethesco. Paul Minas, you remember Paul Minas, one of the history professors. Paul Minas gave my brother Jackie, the intertestamental scholar, the Roman historian, he gave him a bad mark, a bad grade at the end of a course. Jackie went to meet Paul. Paul says, Jackie, sit down. We're going to talk. Your score was an A, and you know it, and I know it. But you got that bad mark because, Jackie, you intimidated me, and I happen to think that you enjoyed intimidating me. And Jackie said, Paul, I am so sorry that you felt that way. Paul, I am just so passionate about the intertestamental period and in particular Roman history. I am so sorry if I made you feel uncomfortable. He says, well, the mark will remain, but if I ever need some help, can I call you, Jackie? And Jackie and Paul Minas became very good friends after that. Jackie was a Roman historian. You see, when Mary Magdalene, you're looking for proof of the resurrection? When Mary Magdalene found that the stone had been rolled away, one of the other gospel writers, the children lifted it up this morning, the youth did, Matthew's version, talks about the Roman guard. You see, when they left their post in this writing, they were gone by this time, which means they were dead men. They were the walking dead. To have abandoned your assigned post as a Roman guard by Pontius Pilate and all the authority of Rome, you had just signed your own execution, your death sentence. They were the walking dead. And why did they flee? Because quite clearly, they encountered something more powerful than even death itself. She found that the tomb, the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. She runs and she finds Simon Peter and that other disciple, the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And she said to them both, "They have taken away the Lord, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Simon Peter and the other disciple set out for the tomb. They were actually running together initially, but this other disciple whom Jesus loved must have, I would anticipate, he was younger. At least he was in better shape, Tim, because he outran Simon Peter. He got to the tomb first, in fact, and he bent down and he looked into the empty tomb where he saw the linen wrappings lying there, though he did not go in at that time. Simon Peter finally catches up, and Simon Peter enters the tomb, and he too sees the linen wrappings lying there, and also the towel that had been placed upon the head of Jesus, not with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place all by itself. And then the other disciple came in, and he looked, and it is written by John, he saw and he believed. They as yet did not fully comprehend all the scriptures that had foretold that Jesus would rise from the dead. But they returned to their homes believing, because what they saw made them instant believers. Now, I've shared a little bit of this with you before, but as a reminder, when I started seminary at Methodist Theological School, Delaware, Ohio, in the fall of 1978, it just so happened that it coincided with the initial work that was being done with the Shroud of Turin. And there were all sorts of these incredible, huge, beautiful lithographs and posters and writings about the ongoing studies of the Shroud of Turin. And if you're familiar with some of the ongoing studies, watch History Channel. We enjoy that History Channel, don't we, Warren? And you'll learn a lot from that about the evolution of the studies. You're also going to read about some of the flags that went up, that it might have been one of those paintings that Leonardo da Vinci and his genius had created. And there were paintings very similar to that. They were actually paintings. So there were controversies. Carbon dating at the time had dated it much younger, although they had to go back and they discovered that carbon dating was only testing a fire that the Knights Templar had been able to rescue. Where's Kevin? Kevin, where are you? Kevin Weissman, raise your hand for me. Oh, did he already leave? Did he head over to... He's already gone to Fort Wayne. Well, the Knights Templar rescued the Shroud. And in recent studies, they found that there's pollen. They didn't find this back in 78. They just found it in the past year. Pollen of plants that only grow on planet Earth, listen to this, within a 50-mile radius of Jerusalem. That's just been discovered. Blood is in that, not paint. Blood is in the Shroud of Turin. Doesn't necessarily prove that whoever was in the shroud was the historical Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Doesn't prove it. If you know the rules of logic, it doesn't necessarily jump that was Jesus. But hold on to your hats. I shared this with you before. They just discovered that the imprint, along with the blood that's there, that's real. And the imprint was caused by the release of billions of watts of an unknown power. They still can't assess what type or distill this matter. Unknown, billions of watts of an unknown power likened them to an ultraviolet. They've at least been able to get that much out. And that the body, whoever was in it, was not lying down. They were not leaning against a wall. Their feet were not resting on a surface. This particular body was suspended in midair at the time of the explosion and the emission of the billions of watts of an unknown power. Now, the scientists are saying it, according to the rules of logic, simple logic, it does not necessarily follow still that this was the body of Jesus. However, many of those scientists are saying it's a pretty good bet that, yes, indeedy, it held the body of the one they called the carpenter of Nazareth, the one that they called Yeshua ben Joseph, the one that the church today heralds as the risen Christ. And for what it's worth, those scientists saw, and they have returned to their homes, believers. Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she bent down and she looked into the empty tomb, and now she saw two angels in white, it is written, that were sitting where the body of Jesus had once been placed, one at the head, one at the feet, and the angel spoke to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And in her grief, she explained to them that they had carried away the body of the Lord, and she didn't know where it was. And as she was saying this, she turned around and she saw Jesus, though she didn't initially recognize him. And now Jesus asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she said to him, thinking that he was the gardener, by the way, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, will you please tell me where you've placed him, and I'll come and I'll get him." And then Jesus spoke her name. How about that? He spoke her name. You know, I've said you recognize your mama's voice, don't you, children? You recognize your father's voice, don't you? Ruth Dillo recognized Clayton's voice. News too good to be true, but she recognized the voice of her beloved son. We will all recognize the voice of the Creator, the one who formed you in your mother's womb. There's no denying when it's the voice of the Lord that speaks to you and will speak you by name. And he says, "Mary." And she says in the Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means "my teacher." And then he says, "Don't hold me. Don't hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but rather go tell my brothers that I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." And so Mary Magdalene went and she announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she revealed to them all the things that he had told her. When I greeted Don and Nancy, I know a lot of my snowbirds don't know that my brother-in-law, Gary Williams, passed away on a Sunday just right before Christmas. And my sister had just shared a testimony about this, and then I'm going to have another, just one more testimony to close with. But, you know, when she met Gary back in 1972 at the Fletcher United Methodist Church, ladies, she said that, Judy, she said Gary reminded her of a Malibu Ken doll. Malibu Ken, you remember it, a Malibu Ken doll. Well, it was kind of like love at first sight, and then, of course, he won me over because we were students together. We worked together at Hobart's. Here he was, the strong wrestler, the tough guy, and he drives a forklift, and they had me doing the heavy lifting in the heavy drill department. He'd come down every now and then on the forklift and just smile, checking up on me, you know, to make sure I was making it. But they fell in love there. They were married in that church, and then, of course, he was stricken with the mesothelioma, which, sadly, he contracted there at Hobart's in the packing department. The carcinogens were there in the packing materials. There's so much that we've learned over the years that we didn't know, Dick. Nobody knew. But he battled mesothelioma for years, and then finally in this house where they made their home, Angela. I want to tell you about Angela. Angela had gone through a very heartbreaking divorce, a very painful divorce. And this, my young niece, was hurting so badly. And I think she really questioned whether there was ever going to be love again in her life. And there it was, that Gary, with mesothelioma no less, had retired, had come home to his birthplace at Fletcher, Ohio, again at the Fletcher United Methodist Church. His grieving daughter, Angela, meets a young soldier, and they fell in love, and we got to go to the wedding for Lucas and for Angela, and it was like the return of life for her. And Dad was able to walk her down the aisle with mesothelioma, and he certainly was in the last stages, but this tough guy, old Gear, walked his daughter down the aisle and added his blessing to the union between Lucas Woodard and my niece, Angela. But on that Sunday morning, before Christmas. On that first day of the week, while it was still dark, Gary asked to get up. And here he is. I don't know that many people. I don't know how many I've ever met that stood to their feet to meet the Lord. And Yvonne said, Craig, you know how tough he was. He says, Yvonne, help me to my feet. Gary stood to his feet, and she says, on that first day of the week, early in the morning, while it was still dark, he reached out his hand, and he met Jesus. And the stone is rolled away, and I'm not going to minimize the grief that she has gone through, Fritzy. They were so close. As my daddy told me, son, you don't know what grief is until your spouse has died. You don't know what it is. And she loved him so much, but she just gave a testimony that I want to close with now. And her testimony was in a prayer. Keith, she found the strength in Christ to offer a prayer about a week ago. And in the prayer, she lifted up this man that she loved so much. She said, I can't see him, but I know that he lives. Because Christ is risen from the dead, because Christ has conquered death, and Christ assures us that he gives to us that precious victory. Our loved ones who have died have not been destroyed. Death holds no claim on them any longer. The stone has been rolled away. As Christ lives, they live also. And now, at this time, with joy in our hearts, with hope that will never cease, let us serve the Lord through our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. God of grace and God of glory, pour your power on your people this day, that our lives may reflect the gift that we have received through the resurrection of your Son. Truly we see you show no partiality, offering abundance of life, fullness of grace to all who turn to you in their need. With deepest gratitude for your many gifts, particularly the gift of your Son, we offer you our tithes and offerings this day. In the name of the resurrected one, we pray. Amen. And now, of course, the greatest witness of all to the resurrection. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. 310, he lives. May the love of God, the Father, the grace of the risen Christ, the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, abide with us all now and for all eternity. Amen.